It's Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. You're with us here on the Ideas Network. Coming up, Israel barred two U.S. representatives from the country yesterday after pressure via Twitter from President Trump. The story has been changing since then. We'll talk about the precedent it could set and what it says about the relationship between the U.S. and Israel. First, it's Food Friday, and we're looking at the different ways to use chickpeas. You might also know them as garbanzo beans or a few other names. No matter what you call them, there's a lot you can use them for: salads, soups, baking, and hummus. Lori Skelton is a WPR classical music host and a Food Friday regular. Lori, welcome back.
Good to be back.
Well, I use the words chickpeas and garbanzo beans interchangeably, but I've always wondered, like, wait, is there a thing that's one and a thing that's the other?
In that instance, not really. There are different kinds of chickpeas. What you'll most find, especially dried in American groceries, is the kabuli type. They're the largest. They're beige. What's known around the world more often is the desi type of chickpea, slightly smaller and more yellow in color. And so it's possible that you might find those more in Mexican groceries, but they're really the same thing. There is such a thing as a green chickpea as well, simply a younger version of either one of the two. Very popular in Indian cuisine because they taste more like green peas. There is one other that I've not been able to find in this country. There is such a thing as black chickpeas. They're used in Indian cooking. They're a little bit smaller than a chickpea, reddish brown, very, very tough. Every Indian cook I know says you have to cook them in a pressure cooker to get them edible.
Now, the choice most of us will face if we want to make something with chickpeas, we'll get into what we can do with them in a bit, but the choice most of us are going to see is dry or canned. Is there a rule of thumb for when we use which?
Canned, obviously. Those are already cooked and very, very soft. Nothing wrong with canned chickpeas. I use them all the time. You will want to rinse them off, though, because they are going to have a little more sodium, and rinsing them off will take care of some of that extra salt. If you're somebody who knows how to use that chickpea water that's in the can, what's now called aquafaba, we'll probably get into that a little bit later because that's a completely different animal. But if you're someone who wants to use that, go ahead and save that water. So canned chickpeas are fine, a lot softer. I tend to use canned chickpeas when I'm going to be using them in something that's hot. Occasionally, I will use them in soup. I love making a really basic pasta sauce with canned chickpeas, just a little bit of water and a lot of olive oil to make them very, very soft. If I'm going to have chickpeas around for salads or for tucking into sandwiches or even for roasting, I personally prefer to take the time, soak your chickpeas the night before you're going to boil them, and then boil them down. I've discovered a really great trick to take the boiling down to 20, sometimes 40 minutes, and that's to add a teaspoon of baking soda to the cooking water. Other than that, you're going to want to boil a pre-soaked batch of chickpeas, maybe an hour, possibly an hour and a half. It all depends on how firm you want them. For roasting, for salads, I do prefer having a firmer texture. Even if I'm going to blitz them in the food processor and make hummus, I like having a firmer texture. And again, less sodium. You've got more control when you're using your dried chickpeas. And just really rough on the math, it's also a little bit cheaper to use the dried rather than the canned.
Talking to Lori Skelton on this edition of Food Friday. We're cooking with chickpeas, a.k.a. garbanzo beans. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Do you have a favorite recipe? Do you have a question about what to do with them, how to cook them? Do you have a favorite way to eat or make hummus? And do you use the water in the chickpea can for this aquafaba thing? This is weird. We'll get to that in a bit. Call 800-642-1234. But let's get to some primo chickpea action here, Lori, with hummus. You brought in a couple of your home science recipes here today.
Because the whole idea of my doing a chickpea Food Friday was somebody came to me and said, can you please teach Wisconsin Public Radio how to make hummus the right way?
Because we've been dropping the ball. We've been walking the state with really subpar hummus for our listeners. We're going to fix that today.
Well, here's the scary thing, or the delightful thing. I've talked to a lot of chefs. I've read a lot of blogs, and there is a little bit of a, well, almost a Mason-Dixon line when it comes to how do you do your hummus. I've learned that in Israel, hummus is eaten warm. It's a little bit runny, but it's also blended a lot longer than we usually blend ours. It's eaten for breakfast with a spoon. You almost don't have – you can ask for pita chips on the side, but you're basically scooping this in as though you were eating porridge. Hummus, I personally like having tahini in mine, and I'm told that that's the traditional way to do it, even though the Arab word for chickpea is hummus. Hmm. But your basic recipe is you take your chickpeas – throw them in the food processor with onion, maybe, garlic, probably, lemon, pretty much, and then, of course, you want olive oil in there. If you want tahini, you put that in there, and you're going to want to blitz this for at least 5 minutes. What a lot of us see in the store these days is basic chickpeas that have been blitz with maybe just a little tahini. The interest will come from what gets put on top of them, whether it's toasted pinoli, pine nuts, or in some cases you can get very, very fancy. In Lebanon, you can top your hummus with ground lamb that's been spiced. I saw one recipe for pomegranate molasses and roasted quail.
Wow.
So it can be as simple or as fancy as you like, but however you serve it, there's going to be somebody at your table who's going to say, that's not the way you do it, which can land you into some really great discussions as, okay, why do you do it your way?
Or I just don't invite them back. Now, people, you can buy at stores packaged hummus and they'll be like, you know, red peppers mixed in, or yeah. I saw a picture of like chocolate hummus. I don't know. People blend a lot of things into the hummus. You are opposed to that. That's going to get you yelling at people. The creativity comes with the stuff, like you were saying, that you put on top of it.
I think so. I like having that relatively blank canvas, and then you can get creative with your toppings. You can also use more toppings that way if something isn't already blended in. That said, if you have the chickpeas already done and say maybe you've got half a cup of boiled beets left over from a couple of nights ago, they're about to go spare, you want to blend that into your hummus just for your own personal enjoyment. I got no problem with that.
But don't inflict it on Lori.
Well, I will definitely take a bite, but okay. I will be looking for other things as well. The one thing you have over your pre-packaged hummus in the store, there are preservatives. There's an awful lot more sodium, and a lot of commercial hummuses out there don't use olive oil. They use soybean oil, which is not as good a fat to put in your body.
Let's bring on a caller at 800-642-1234. Vani is with us in Glendale. Vani, hi.
Hi.
What'd you want to tell us about?
Oh, well, first of all, I was listening about that brown, blackish, small variety of dried chickpeas that are available at any Indian store.
Okay.
And yes, they do take a little bit longer, but yes.
How do you use them, Vandi?
You can make a curry with it, which is what normally we do. And you can use them in salads, boil and keep it. And then you can just make a dry roasted snack.
Okay.
It has to be boiled first, and then you bake off all the water, and then you heat up a little oil, add a little bit of cumin seeds, and add these chickpeas and salt and a little bit of cumin powder and chili powder to the taste, and they're... Put them in a bowl and eat them with a spoon.
That sounds great, Vani.
I know one recipe I ran across says they're a really good curry accompaniment with golden raisins. Have you ever tried that?
That is not something. No, I have not tried that. But like I said, most Indians like to eat curry as curry without the raisins or anything sweet added to it.
Okay.
Gotcha. Thank you so much, Vani, for calling in and sharing that. I've tried making that chickpea snack, but I do it in the oven, Lori. I've tossed chickpeas in oil and spices and bake them in the oven. They never get quite as crunchy as I want, and I'm doing that with canned. I wonder if I'd be better off with dry, boiled, maybe not overboiled in this case.
I have better luck when I'm roasting chickpeas. I have better luck using ones that I have boiled ahead of time. Lovely thing about that is if you boil a pot of chickpeas on Sunday, go ahead and throw them in the refrigerator and just let them sit there and then use them all week. You can, you don't have to do a whole batch of roasted or salad or anything. Chickpeas will keep in the refrigerator after you've boiled the dried ones well over a week. So yes, toss them 400-degree oven, toss them with some olive oil, your spices. I know some people that even take a packet of ranch dressing powder and sprinkle that on their chickpeas. And I mean, perfect Wisconsin snack, wouldn't you say?
It's Food Friday. We're talking to Lori Skelton about how to use chickpeas or garbanzo beans in the kitchen. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Do you make your own hummus? Do you have a favorite way to use chickpeas in soups, entrees, snacks, whatever, salads? Have you tried to use chickpea flour ever? Or do you ever use the water from the canned chickpeas? This is a thing. We'll get into this. Call 800-642-1234. Or if you have a question, 800-642-1234. Or post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. We'll pick up the conversation coming up on Central Time. You're listening to Central Time on the Ideas Network. I'm Rob Ferret. We're continuing our Food Friday conversation with WPR's Lori Skelton, talking about cooking with chickpeas. And you can join in at 800-642-1234. Tell us about your favorite way to use chickpeas or garbanzo beans. Do you have a hummus recipe you like to make at home? Do you have a question for Lori about what to do with them? Have you ever tried using this stuff? It's called aquafaba. It's just the chickpea water. People use it as a substitute for egg whites. Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234 or post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. Back to your calls now. Anthony is with us in Mauston. Anthony, hi.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call.
What do you want to tell us about, Anthony?
So my family and I, we are plant-based, and we miss eggs an awful lot. And we found a nice little recipe online where we basically blend up dry chickpeas, and it makes an awful noise, but you get those to a fine powder and you put them in the skillet with some oil, and it actually has a scrambled eggs texture. Just add salt, pepper, or green onion, whatever, and it works for us.
Yep. You can get chickpea flour already ground, so you don't have to kill your appliances to try it. And yes, I've heard that Indians will scramble that flour with ginger and make a kind of scrambled egg. So it sounds amazing. I'm glad to know somebody's doing it.
And Anthony, thanks for the call. That takes us to a couple things. I mentioned this aquafaba, Lori. It's a big thing, you tell me. Using the liquid, it works like egg whites, kind of?
Exactly. Last year, the British version of Great British Bake Off, or baking show, if you will, what we didn't see in this country is they did a vegan week. And the technical challenge was make meringues, make a pavlova with aquafaba, where you take the water that's in a can of chickpeas, you throw it in your stand mixer with the whisk, and you whip the blazes out of it, and it acts like an egg white. I've tried this, and I have yet to master it, but part of my problem is I was trying to make a fairly crisp meringue. I was trying to make my favorite dessert, which is a pavlova, which is supposed to be marshmallowy in the middle and crisp on the outside. I can't quite get that texture. That said, what I'm seeing online more and more, if you're vegan, this is how you make your lemon meringue pie, your baked Alaska. You can make chocolate mousse. You can make nougat. You can make a kind of buttercream with aquafaba, marshmallow fluff, apparently. This is how you can make an egg white cocktail again if you don't eat eggs. You can make a kind of mozzarella cheese. You can make vegan butter. But I'm not able to do all of this yet. So if anybody out there is, I want to hear from you.
800-642-1234. Hearing about that pavlova is making my mouth water. Back to your calls now. Shane is with us in Eau Claire. Shane, hi.
Hi, how are you guys doing today?
Good. What do you want to tell us about Shane?
So I do like making a lot of kinds of hummus. I got to say that when I get quote-unquote exciting, I just kind of mix in different kinds of beans. Black bean has been popular with my family. But I had a question about falafel. My brother and I were trying to make some the other day, and we've had some mixed results. But, you know, I've also haven't been able to find maybe a recipe that you can bake instead of just frying. So I was hoping maybe you'd have some tips and pointers on how to make falafel well.
And Shane, I want to ask, are you using, I've only done this with a mix. Like you can buy a box or bag or whatever falafel mix. Are you actually making your own mix?
Trying to go straight.
Wow.
Yes.
Okay.
And Shane, I'm sorry. I have yet to perfect this as well. I don't deep fry a lot because mostly I'm cooking for me during the week. It's not worth it to me to get the kitchen that messy just to deep fry for one. And you're right. If you're not using a mix, that stuff can fall apart. And baking it, I'm told it's possible. I've yet to perfect it. They end up really, really tasty, but they're very, very flat and a little bit oily.
Thanks. Good luck, Shane. When I've made it a mix, what I usually do is just pan fry it, so I'm not immersing it, and I just kind of like make little patties that I toss.
Yeah.
It's not quite like getting it at the falafel restaurant, though.
Mm-hmm. I know. It's a lovely thing if you can make it yourself. Again, if somebody's got the secret, call in and let us know. But that tends to be something I let somebody else make for me.
Thanks a lot for that call. It's Food Friday. Lori Skelton is with us. We're cooking with chickpeas. Find some recipes. There's a hummus. There's a couple other things. A fake tuna salad made with chickpeas. We'll
That's
get to that
really
maybe in
good.
A bit. That is at WPR.org/Food Friday. Spicy beans with wilted greens we put back up there. But back to your calls now. Brad is on the line in Eau Claire. Brad, hello.
Hi, thank you. I love your show today on the chickpeas.
Thank you.
I'm just wondering if your guest has ever had any luck with a vegan mayonnaise with the aquafaba.
That's actually something that I've not tried myself, but more people have told me that that's how they got into using aquafaba, is a vegan mayo. They do say they probably give it a little more seasoning than they would their standard mayonnaise. I know a lot of people want white pepper in that, probably some Dijon mustard, a really sharp white wine vinegar. So you're probably going to season this a little bit more than you would just your standard egg mayo. But that's a really good way to get started. You blitz all of that up in your blender. It takes probably no more than a minute and a half. You may have to give that a little bit of extra aeration because those aren't technically egg whites, but that's a really great way to start.
And Brad, have you done this yourself?
I have done it. I've had fairly good luck with it. I've done it in a food processor. And, you know, the technique is you have to be careful putting the oil in. You know, it takes quite a bit of oil.
Right.
But I do it about 3 minutes in my food processor, and I do use some Dijon mustard and some lemon juice, and you have to kind of spice it up a little bit. But I have had very good luck with the vegan mayonnaise with the aquafaba.
Okay, great. Good to know.
Thanks a lot for calling in, Brad. We'll go to Jody with us now in Stoughton. Jody, hi.
Hi, thank you for taking my call. The previous caller, one of them actually touched on something, and it was about the flour, the dried and the ground-up chickpeas or garbanzo beans.
Right.
I have tried making hummus, which I could eat every day, from the can and cooking my own, and I'm never happy with the texture. So then I saw this in the store one day, and I thought, why can't I try it with this? It's actually sitting on my counter as we speak. And I'm making it this weekend, but does that lend itself to that?
I've never heard of using a flour in any kind of hummus. Might I suggest before you try tossing that in there, I take it you want to do that to make the texture a little bit thicker?
No, the ground chickpeas themselves, the chickpea flour.
I don't think you can do a hummus with flour. I think you really do need the chickpeas for that. I really think it comes down to aerating the actual legume.
Well, if you can prove us wrong, Jody, make it and send samples. We'll try them out here.
Absolutely.
We'll go to Mike with us now in Madison. Mike, hello.
Hello. So I got a little recipe I use for my nephew who's has nut allergies. And I take my canned chickpeas. And I dry them out overnight, just leave them out on the counter, let them dry out a little bit. And then I coat them with a little bit of honey and a little bit of cardamom powder, and then I put them in the food dehydrator and let them sit for about 5-6 hours. And I've got these wonderful, crunchy little snacks that are the equivalent of, well, not quite the equivalent of a peanut, of a honey-roasted peanut, but
honey and cardamom. Oh.
Yes.
Mike?
And the cardamom I add, because I'm a cardamom addict, and I put it in just about everything. It's like my chili is almost always cardamom. But it adds just a little bit of, pizzazz to it. The mix with the sweet of the honey, a little savory with the sweet of the honey and the chickpea, and it's great for those that have peanut allergies.
Mike, I know what I'm going to be making for dessert this weekend. Thank you so much. That sounds brilliant.
Yeah, what a great idea, Mike. Let's quickly touch on one of the other recipes we've got up, the chickpeas in place of tuna, Lori, in our last minute or so.
It's not going to fool anybody who really wants tuna. But again, if you're looking for a way to, say, get a little bit more creative in your kitchen, if you've got vegan family members and you don't know what to make for them, this sort of tuna salad is a really good way to get started. Again, you've got Dijon mustard in there, scallion, celery, a little bit of maple syrup. If you've got nori, that dried seaweed, you'll want to crumble a little bit of that in there, some red onions, some capers. Put an open face with a little bit of avocado on the top. I guarantee it's an amazing sandwich.
But don't pretend it's tuna. You're not fooling anybody.
But it
sounds really good on its own terms.
It sounds amazing. Let's put it this way. We've got it up on the website, and tuna is in quotation.
Quotes. Excellent. Well, it's been a lot of fun, as always, Lori. Thanks a lot for joining us.
Thank you so much.
That's Lori Skelton, classical music host at WPR, a regular here on Food Friday. You can find some of the chickpea recipes we've been talking about, including a hummus recipe and a chickpea salad, at WPR.org/Food Friday. Also, that chickpea tuna. I'm air quoting around tuna there.